Savior is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
We move along with time in our work and in our play. Just a fleeting moment, and it dawns another day. Days turn into seasons, summer heat and winter cold. But harvest that's going on right now. Gathering wheat into the barn until the trumpet blows. Reaping will come to a close. Can you see the clock from
look upon the world scene today, we can see incredible changes taking place. We see the earthquakes, we see the weather patterns changing, we see incredible floods, and at the same time, fires that destroy thousands and thousands of acres of land. We know that we are in the last days. We know that Jesus is about to come. For he said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, then lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And one does not have to look far to know that something is about to happen. The secular world is wondering about the things that are taking place. They are walking around in fear. The Bible teaches us that in the last days, men's hearts will fail them for fear of looking on the things that are happening on this planet. And the Christian world is becoming more and more confused. Demonic activity is beginning to take place all over the planet. When the movies that are being put out today are totally demon infested. They are there to somehow get the population of this planet used to the idea that they are being invaded by demonic hordes. And the Bible teaches us that during the hour of the tribulation, demonic hordes will be unleashed on this planet. And the people are definitely getting used to that. We know that the Lord God is merciful. He is waiting and he's willing that none shall perish. And we, the children of God, have been given a commission to preach this gospel to every creature. And the gospel is very simple. It is so plain that a child can understand it. It is a pardon that is held out to the people to accept so that they will not have to perish. But if they do not receive that pardon, then they will have to endure the eternal lake of fire. Yes, this is what is described in the Word of God. And what is Christianity? There's a lot of confusion today. Men heap to themselves teachers that show them what Christianity is, and in a lot of cases, it is nothing but false doctrine and some cultish ideas. True Christianity is very clearly written in the Word of God. And today I will teach on it. But before I get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that you will anoint this message and you will help me to bring forth this message so that people will be able to understand. I thank you for the grace of God. I thank you for the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Christianity is often viewed by a lot of people that the Christian walks or talks in a certain way, or he is dressed in a certain way. There is a great confusion about Christianity. The Bible says, great is the mystery of Christianity. What is the real Christian idea? What does the Bible teach? Is it something that we perform in the flesh? Is it something that we achieve through our own efforts and rules and regulations? In Philippians chapter 3, verse 9, the Apostle Paul makes an astonishing statement. He tells us, I want to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, and that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. So the Apostle Paul makes it very clear that he doesn't want his own abilities, he doesn't want his own ideas to stand in the way of his Christianity, for he recognized that it's not what he was doing, it is what he has become. He has become the righteousness of God by faith in Jesus Christ. That is what true Christianity is, because the Bible teaches us that all our righteousness are as filthy rags. All the good things that we do to try to achieve the kingdom of God are nothing but filthy rags in the eyes of God. So we have to look in a different direction for Christianity, for that entrance into the kingdom of God. The Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ is the door. There is no other way in to the kingdom of God. So if you try in any other way than through Jesus, then you're nothing but a thief and a murderer. And many religious people are guilty of that. There's something interesting going on. There are many religious people who are guarding their lips. They do not want to blaspheme the Holy Spirit because they know there is a death sentence on that. So they will guard every word that comes out of their mouths. But what is blaspheming the Holy Spirit? Blaspheming the Holy Spirit is rejecting the way of salvation and heaping to yourselves your own idea on how to get saved. Many well-meaning people are going to stand at the judgment bar of God and will have to hear the sentence, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity," because they will then and only then see that they had been blaspheming the Holy Spirit all their lives, where they have so zealously guarded themselves, thinking that they were somehow doing the right thing. Oh, what a horrible deception people are in. This is why we need to study the Word of God and make sure that we run this race lawfully. It tells us in Galatians chapter 5, verse 5, "For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." It tells us here, we wait for the righteousness by faith, that circumcision doesn't avail us anything nor uncircumcision. So he is simply stating here that keeping the law doesn't help anything, or not keeping the law. So it doesn't really matter when it comes to the things of the flesh. Keeping the law has nothing to do with entering into the kingdom of God. If keeping the law could give you entrance into heaven, then Jesus Christ wouldn't have had to come to pay your sin debt. And when we turn to the Lord, when we finally see the way of salvation, then all of a sudden, the Bible will put road marks out there or stop signs to make sure that you know that you have this Christ and that you have this salvation. He tells us in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, "For brethren, you have been called into liberty. You only use not liberty for the occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." So here he is making a statement, and if you do know the Lord, if you do have accepted Jesus, then make sure you, once you understand it, you do not use the liberty that God has given you for the occasion of the flesh. The Bible teaches us that we should not make provisions for the flesh to sin. We need to see these things because God is trying to show us freedom. But if we get bound and entangled in the things of the flesh, then we are not in freedom. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, he tells us, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." What happens when a person becomes born again and turns back to the beggarly elements of the world? He starts to make rules, laws, and regulations. He says, "Walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed of one another." And this is exactly what happens when rules, laws, and regulations are heaped upon people. It doesn't take long. There are deadly feuds going on, and I have seen that. I know how these things work. I lived in them. We need to be led by the Spirit so that we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So the question I will be asking, are you being led by the Spirit or are you being led by the works of the flesh? It tells us in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, for the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. There's meekness, temperance, and it says against these such there is no law. And they that belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. This is one thing that we need to understand. If we're going to be bound by rules and laws, then we will start to fight with one another. This is the natural way the lawkeeper operates. It doesn't take long. The law comes back to destroy you because we are not capable of operating in the law. The Bible teaches us very clearly, if you fail on one, then you are guilty of them all. So don't depend on the law to keep you from evil. You need to walk in the power of the Holy Ghost, then you will be kept from the things and from the evil things of this world. One thing I have noticed in my life, Christians who set up rules and laws and regulations to guard themselves and to guide themselves are very contentious people. It doesn't take long. You get into an argument with them about the things of God that it leaves your head spinning. And you wonder a lot of times why you waste your time with people like that. They're dead set in their mind that they're on the right track. They put aside the Word of God to follow the rules and regulations of men. This is what the Bible teaches. In the last days, men will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears because they feel they're doing the right thing. They are rejecting the word of God for the commandments of men. And this is exactly the problem the Apostle Paul had with the Galatians. He tells them, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should crucify the Lord afresh? He asked them, if keeping the law couldn't get you into the kingdom of God, how do you think keeping the law will make you better Christians? And this is what a lot of Christians who come from religious backgrounds are guilty of. They seem to think that somehow keeping yourself in the things of the flesh will make you a better Christian and will make you holy before God. Thus, they look down upon those around you and try to bring them into subjection. Yes, this happens all the time. I know I live amongst them. So where do you stand with these things? Do you want to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Or are you going to operate by the beggarly elements of this world, by keeping some law? I want to clarify something here. You may know the Lord Jesus Christ, and you may say in your heart, I am keeping myself by keeping those rules and operating in those ways. But your children will grow up and they will believe that this rule keeping is what true Christianity is. You need to show them from the start by your life and by the scripture what true Christianity is. We are fast approaching the coming back of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we can see the confusion mounting. So keep to the Word of God. Don't depart from it. Don't heap to yourself garbage and debris that will bury the cross where your child will not be able to see it. Open your heart to the truth, and the Lord will make you a blessing. Amen.
Come to them highland, come in the high, for sign and God, yet this does not tide. Eristons, Naxon, Signet, bereit, und ruft so freundlich, come. Wenn wir sind von Sünden frei und rein, in das gelobte Kanaan ein, Jesus, ich Herr, ich kann. Komm, o mein Kind, und Herr ist sein Wort, gib ihm dein Herz und folg ihm sofort.
For this part of the program, I want to ask you, the listener, a question. I know there are many religious people listening to this program, so this question is very important. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, it tells us, "Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." So he is listing all the bad things that a person does who is an unbeliever, who has not been born again. And then he goes on to tell us something. He says, "And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." So he is very clearly stating a fact here. Such were some of you. You were guilty of all these things, he is telling us. But now you have been washed by the precious blood of Jesus. When we're honest with ourselves, we know for a fact that we're still covetous, that we're still extortioners, that we still do these things that are listed here. So the question is, do we truly understand what the Apostle Paul says when he says, "Such were some of you," he says, You were once guilty of all those things, but now you are justified. You have been set free through the power of the Holy Ghost. And then he goes on to make a stronger statement. He says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. It tells us these things are lawful, but they are not good for us. But the main point he is making, these things will not hurt us as far as our salvation is concerned, because when even if I do them, it does not matter. It can't hurt me. Do you truly understand that? If you say that you do, then I want to ask the question, if we do these things and they cannot condemn us, then why do we get ourselves teachers who will heap rules, laws, and regulations upon us for us to keep? Why do we do it if these things cannot hurt us? The question I ask myself a lot of times, if people say they're truly born again and then go back into the law, go fall back into keeping laws, rules, and regulations, do they truly understand the way of salvation? So here is the point I'm trying to make. The cross of Calvary has set us free from any condemnation. The Bible teaches us where there is no law, there is no sin. In other words, we've been totally set free. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who have been born again. So why do we bury the cross in a whole bunch of garbage and debris? Why can we not get together and fellowship with one another? Why do we somehow think that we are better than others just because we dress this way or keep these laws? This somehow makes me suspicious that there are people out there who call themselves Christians who truly don't know what true Christianity is. What is true Christianity? Christianity is being changed in your heart by the laws that God has put there. Christianity is being set free from the clutches of Satan through the power of the precious blood of Jesus. And that alone is what true Christianity is. So look at yourself. Check these things out and make sure that you truly know that you're born again, because the judgment day is just around the corner and there's not going to be a chance for a second try. The Lord will open your heart to these truths and make you a blessing. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2.